You'll look so much more rested, even though you've been getting up early, so much more peaceful than on the first night that you arrived. So I hope you've had a good retreat. It's almost over. It seems to have gone very quickly. But I was just reflecting that we've actually covered quite a lot. So on the first night, we looked at the idea of retreating. And the next morning, we looked at the idea of relaxation. And then we kind of had a quick session on retraining the mind, looking at the hindrances and the four-right efforts. And last night we looked at reconnecting with people, overcoming our hatred and resentment to better connect with the people around us. And this morning the theme is recharge. So how do we recharge? The thinking that I did behind this is that the best thing we can do is to try to build up joy and positivity in our mind whenever we can, as frequently as we can, because not only does this mean we're happy and well and we interact positively with the people around us, it means that when we come to practice meditation, our mind is already in a really good place and we get really nice, still, peaceful, pleasurable meditation. So that's the aim. And the Buddha was very clever. He came up with so many different meditation methods for so many different reasons, so many different purposes. And one method that we're going to do in a few minutes is a perfect way to bring up positivity. But before we get there, I wanted to do a quick session on gratitude. So this is a very yogic dog, very still and peaceful and full of gratitude. Why wouldn't you be if you're a dog? Because dogs get so well looked after, they just kind of have to turn up and be fed and loved. But for us, sometimes it's quite difficult to have gratitude in our hearts. We get so caught up in our own lives, we get so caught up in our busyness, our self-importance, that sometimes we forget that we're actually pretty much reliant upon others, the generosity of others. This is something that I became very aware of when I ordained. Getting a little bit emotional thinking about it, because my life, one of the reflections that we have, is that our lives as monastics are completely dependent on the generosity of others. So I have no money, I have no means of support except my alms bowl for food and these robes that I wear. I've got accommodation that's been provided to me and medicines for when I'm sick. And so at a place like Bodhinyana, which is a very well-supported monastery, people come every day and they bring us food. And sometimes it's like a huge buffet and you forget that, you know, people have cooked at home and then they've put it in the car and they've brought it to the monastery, they've put it on the table. So they've offered this food and afterwards they usually do the dishes and, you know, they give a donation. And in a place like Bodhinyana where you're so well supported, sometimes you can forget, you know, you're living on people's generosity. But from time to time, when I go out into the world, I go back to Sydney and I stay at a place called the Buddhist Library. And there I don't have any buffet. I have to go out on the streets with my bowl, just like in the Buddha's time, and stand quietly in front of restaurants and hope for the best. And so in those situations, I really feel, you know, a lot of gratitude when someone gives me food. And I remember once walking for kilometres in Sydney, trying to rely upon the generosity of others. And I eventually got to a Thai restaurant and I was pretty hungry, I have to say, by that time. And I was really worried I wasn't going to eat that day. And these Thai people, they summoned me over and they were so happy to see me. They were so generous. They gave me so much food. And they afterwards, they said, "We are so lucky that we saw you today." And I was like, "You think you're lucky?" And it was a very powerful moment to me. And I think I will never forget that. I will never forget how fragile my life is. And neither should you. Your lives are entirely dependent on other people. You might think, you know, because you pay a certain fee for your phone or you pay for the retreat, or you might think that you kind of have sorted everything out with payments. But people do this because they're kind. People work because they want to look after you too, not just for having money. And so this morning we're going to do a very quick reflection on gratitude, and I'm going to segue it, just nudge it, into a practice called chaganusati, which is a reflection on our own generosity. But I think it's important to build up the gratitude first in our mind before reflecting upon our own actions. And after that, we're going to have I'm going to have a bit more discussion. It's pretty one-sided discussion so far, but we're going to talk a bit more, and then we'll do a metta meditation after that. So let's just take another few moments to become comfortable. Once again, allow the shoulders to relax, eyes gently closed. I am grateful for this sunshine, this beautiful day at Jhana Grove. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share the Dharma with good people, good friends, my Kalyana Mitas. I'm grateful for the food we have received, to the people who have provided it. I'm grateful for the help, for all the volunteers, all the people who have allowed this retreat to happen. I am grateful for this accommodation, to the people who gave money to construct these buildings, to allow us to practice. I am grateful for all the teachers, all the people who have given me wisdom on this path. I am grateful that I can share my gratitude with you. What is it that you are grateful for in your own life? The things you have, the people, the resources you have within yourself. Just spend the next few minutes reflecting in gratitude. All our lives are dependent on the generosity of others. Knowing this, we practice generosity ourselves, having benefited from others' generosity. We benefit others with ours. You are a good person. You are a generous person. A person who has given. Every day, in many ways, you have given. You have given a kind word. You have gifted a present. You have given someone the gift of your time. You have worked for others' benefit. Think about your own generosity. Think about some kindnesses that you have done. Allow them to become very clear in your mind. How did it feel to give? How wonderful it is in a world full of miserliness, selfishness, greed. How wonderful it is you have practiced generosity. How marvelous it is to be free from stinginess, to give with an open heart, not expecting anything in return. The joy of giving. The pleasure of generosity, an everyday sort of bliss. Allow yourself to feel good, knowing you have given, knowing you have benefited others. And now, in your own mind, reflecting on your generosity, you can experience the joy of being good, the bliss of being kind, the pleasure of this act of generosity returning now to you. And as we come to the end of this short session, reflecting, how does the mind feel remembering a generous act? Was it easy to feel good? Was it challenging? And if so, why? reflecting in this way. We see the consequences of our actions. Giving always leads to good results for others and for ourselves. So just a short reflection on gratitude and generosity. Two things that apparently Westerners especially, or people who've grown up in Western cultures, find really difficult. And some people don't even find any pleasure in being generous, which is just so bizarre, because when you experience a mind, when you see the mind, clearly you see this beautiful quality that generosity has. You're reducing your own ego. You're not worried about yourself in that moment, yeah? You are more interested in the recipient's happiness and joy. You're thinking about their needs. And so in this moment, for a brief second, perhaps our ego is very much absent. And the act of being generous benefits the other person, and then the reflection upon it, on your act, is what gives us this recharge later in our meditation practice. And I want to share a video with you. It's only short, but I think it shows the kind of joy and happiness that generosity can have in people's lives. Wait, I have to make this work better. Sorry, I don't know how to use technology. Maybe I'll just do it this way. No idea why there's no sound. Are there any tech people? Do we need to bow down 3 times? Okay. Oh, maybe it won't work then. Do you want to watch it in silence? Okay. So Narayan, Krishnan, feeding homeless people, looking after them, giving them shaves, things like that. And I wish you could have heard his voice. I am grateful for technology. I wish you could have heard his voice, because he just has this passion and delight for the work that he's doing. And he's so excited about being kind, so excited about being generous. And kind of sometimes I remember watching that video years ago and just kind of feeling a little bit depressed actually about my own life. I'm thinking, how am I living? You know, what am I doing in this world? And sometimes we get caught up with this kind of like giving love to the world, giving generosity to the world. And we think, oh, okay, I have to find the biggest cause possible. You know, I have to find a cause that covers all of the niches, you know, ticks all the boxes for being the best possible cause ever. And sometimes this is a problem, because, you know, if you can't find it, what do? You just stop being nice to the people around you, because probably that's where we're going to need to give the most generosity and the most love, the most kindness, not to the whole world, giving metta to the whole world, but just giving metta to the people who are around us right here, right now. That's where our actions are going to have the most consequences for us. Because the people who are around us, the people who we interact with on a daily basis, at work, at home, in our lives, they're the ones we're most likely to have some friction or conflict with. So that's where we're going to have to put most of our efforts. So it does sound really nice when you're giving metta to the whole world, and we'll do it shortly. But if you forget about the people around you, what's the point? So I'll just go back to my slideshow. Technology, I'm grateful for technology. So attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity, says Simone Weil, a writer and philosopher. And this is something that we can give people all the time. So if we are kind of poor and we have no way of giving to people through material means, then we can always give someone the gift of, as they say, holding space, or giving someone the gift of kindness and attention. And I've noticed in my life as a monk that this is something that people need a lot. People in the world are lonely and they don't have good connections in their lives. So they need to feel that someone cares about them. And this is something that we can do for other people, for our friends, for our Kalyana Mitas, and for the people around us in our lives. Just care. And, you know, the internet, I love the internet. I don't get to use it very often, but when I do, I see that there's so many wonderful things that I can learn with these Dharma goggles. You know what beer goggles are? Buddhist monks and nuns, we've got Dharma goggles. So with the people who are around you, what is the quality of your relationships? There's no point in coming here and saying, I practice metta to all living beings. If when you get home, you have conflict with people, you ignore them, you don't give them love, you don't give them kindness. And so I hope you can understand from this image and the next few images just how important it is to walk the talk, to actually care about the people, not just care, but really care about the people in our lives, and to not become complacent, to not forget, to not lose that sense of gratitude for what you have. So a couple in bed, you know, they have each other, and yet they're so disconnected. Sure, they're connected to the World Wide Web, but they're not connected, at least in this moment, to each other. And how often is this a pattern that is replicated throughout our mornings, throughout our days, at work, at home, even walking down the street, people getting hit by cars because they're on their phones, you know, completely disconnected from reality. So in our own actions, we should be aware and careful. How are we living? How are we using our time? How are we relating to each other? So this is just a little... I'm not anti-technology by any means. In the old days, it was newspapers, you know. So it's not the technology, but just what are we doing? You know, are there humans present? What should we do when there are humans present? You know, Ajahn Brahm says the most important thing when someone is in front of you is to care for them. And so there's many ways that we can do that. This is something, an internet phenomenon that I find a bit distressing. Have you seen these kind of memes? It's where parents, shame their children because the children do something funny. So, you know, this poor little girl here is having a tantrum, a breakdown, because she wasn't allowed to wear her dirty underwear as a hat. And the little boy over there is very distraught because he's not allowed to go trick-or-treating in March. And you might think, oh, this is kind of funny. It is kind of funny, in a way. But just think about this moment when the photograph was taken. What is happening? What is the parent doing in that moment? What is the child learning about the value of human interactions? And this isn't just like a kind of a bad parents, evil technology rant, but can you make the logical jump here to seeing that this is actually how we live our lives, that there's this barrier in the way that prevents us from connecting with other people? On the bus, on the street, there's this invisible barrier where other people's suffering is not allowed in. We don't allow ourselves to connect with other people's suffering, or even sometimes their joys, even their happiness, all of those kinds of things. We tend to block ourselves off from other people. It's too complicated, it's too time-consuming, it is uncomfortable, all of these things, all of these reasons that prevent us from actually dealing with other human beings. So when it comes to saying, I practice metta, I give loving kindness to the world, again, it's not just a mental attitude. It's that ability to walk that talk, to actually, if someone is in front of you distressed or in need, of being able to help them, of wanting to help them. The kind intention is the metta, and the helping is the compassion, the karuna. So we have so many ways in our lives every day that we can give, that we can be kind. And of course, the internet is full of wonderful, pithy sayings for us to take on board, little gems of wisdom. So this one says, the world is filled with nice people, and if you can't find one, be one. So it's true that you hear sometimes people complaining, ah, oh, people are so selfish, people are so greedy, but what are you doing about it? You know, do you have opportunities in your day to practice kindness? And the suggestion that I'm trying to push here is that if you do, you will benefit others, but you'll also benefit yourself. You'll feel better about yourself because being nice is a positive, wholesome mind state. And these wholesome mind states always lead to good results for you and for other people. So by looking after people, you are benefiting yourself. When you go home at night, you'll feel good. I did something today that mattered to another person. And you'll reflect upon your goodness. And this is what lifts your mind. This intentional kindness, intentional giving, is what's going to lift your mind up, take you to that next stage of your spiritual life. And if you believe in things like karma and rebirth, this is what's going to be carried on from life to life to life. So it's this gradual increasing of good qualities that we need to practice. And the way that we practice is not just through sitting there giving the whole world metta, but IRL, in real life. That's where we need to practice kindness, generosity, love, patience, goodwill, all of these beautiful things. So in a world where you can be anything, be kind. Why not? These are just some like fridge magnet kind of things for you to take on board. And of course, this idea that it is important to be nice, so revolutionary. But sometimes it's quite difficult for us to get into these mind states where we feel good about giving or we feel good about helping others. We sometimes have a little shell around us, a little bit of hardness, and we need ways to soften ourselves up, to open ourselves up to these beautiful experiences, emotions, mind states. And that's sometimes quite difficult to do. So one way that we can do it is to do things like that practice of gratitude. Another way is to reflect upon our generosity. Reflecting upon something like generosity provides joy. Did any of you get any joy in the mind? Yeah? Did anyone not get any joy? Was it difficult for some people here, reflecting on your generosity? Yeah? So keep trying, because eventually what you'll get, trust me on this one, is you'll get pleasure in the mind, joy in the mind, and it's like whoosh, lifts you up. And it's like, I don't know, it's like a geyser of joy and positivity in your heart. You have to trust me by the looks in your faces. And what this means is that you are experiencing bliss. So it's good to do. But the reason I mention this is because if you have a good mental result and you remember it, then you're more likely to engage in more generosity. It's like a feedback loop. Okay, it feels good, so I do more of it. Oh, it feels even better, so I do even more of it. And it just goes round and round and round and round like this. So fake it till you make it. Keep practicing generosity. Be aware of the goodness that you're doing and the kindness in your heart, and then reflect upon it. Remember the look on those people's faces when you did something nice. Remember their gratitude to you. And this is what you will remember, not only in your meditation, but a source of comfort at the end of your life when you have to leave this world. You don't reflect upon what you've got, what you've kept, but you reflect upon what you've given away. The only thing that you can take with you is the mind states that you've created, and that gradual increasing of positive states of mind, that's what you're going to take into the next life. So keep practicing generosity, perfect generosity, become an expert in generosity, and the mind will benefit in so many different ways. But sometimes it's difficult to have this softness of heart, the softness of mind, and that's when you can turn to the internet. To see that even animals are able to be kind, even when it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I spent the whole morning looking at animals who shouldn't be friends, who are friends. So birds playing with cats, and cats playing with squirrels, and tigers playing with goats, and all of these beautiful interactions, monkeys and pigs, all sorts of like the most random combinations of animals you've imagined. And it's beautiful. And my heart was so, oh, you know, so find opportunities in your life. For me, it's cats and owls. For you, it could be, I don't know, where you can actually connect with a mind state that makes your heart melt, that makes you squishy on the inside, that gives rise to some emotion that is complex and beautiful. So don't shut yourself off from emotions. This is the exact opposite of the Buddhist path. Sometimes people think if you're going to be a Buddhist, the skill that you have to perfect is this kind of detachment from the world. And that is a very high stage of the path, perhaps. Maybe there is a need at times to have this detachment. But when we're beginning the path, we need to encourage more and more positive mind states. And those come with positive emotions. So don't be afraid of emotions. These emotions are what will bring you the pleasure, the joy in meditation. This will lead to the bliss, and that bliss gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what you want for samadhi, for the stillness of meditation. And that's where you get to find real joy, real peace, and also wisdom. So don't be afraid of these states. And not only are they going to have good effects in your meditation practice, but they're going to have good effects in your life. So when you have positivity in your mind, you have positive interactions with others. When you have kindness in your heart, people are kind back to you. There's all of these beautiful ways of being, if we allow ourselves to, that will radically improve the quality of your life. But I don't want to go on and on and on about it. We have the ability to help other people whilst helping ourselves, and helping other people recharges their batteries and recharges your batteries. So the idea behind this talk was kind of like recharge your love batteries, and it's like a prequel to our metta session. But the last thing I wanted to talk about was encountering, when I was in Thailand recently, a 104-year-old monk named Longpo Sang. And he was a wonderful man. You wouldn't tell he was 104. He looked about 80. He was happy, deliriously happy. And I remember thinking at the time, if you make it to 104 and you're still happy, you must have some sort of secret. And so I asked him, I was like, you know, what advice can you give me as a young monk? You know, what can you tell me about how to be happy? And he said, be like sunshine. Be like sunshine, just shining everywhere, indiscriminately, shining on the whole earth. Everyone experiences the sunshine in the same way. So he said, be like this sunshine. He said, don't you miss it when it's not there? I was like, oh. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to practice some metta meditation. We're going to be like the sun. And we are going to give it to the entire world. But we're also going to remember to give it where it needs to be. So let's take a comfortable position again. So just take a few moments to allow the mind to come to that place of positivity, relaxed positivity. Softening all the muscles in the body. Feeling comfortable and at ease. Allowing a sense of mindfulness to naturally arise. Aware of the present moment. you are deserving of love. You have many good qualities. You are kind. You are generous. You are helpful. And you care. Allow yourself to see these good qualities within yourself. Allow yourself to feel good. Allow yourself to love yourself. Kind mind, caring mind, not trying to change, but caring for yourself. Thinking, may I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering, free from pain, free from misery, distress. May I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. Allow this thought to infuse the mind. See if you can perceive the feeling of metta. May I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. As we practice in this way, imagining at the center of our chest, golden light a small sun, glowing gently, becoming brighter and brighter. May I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. Feel so good. Feel so nice to experience the sunshine, the warmth of love for yourself. Allow it to feel good. Allow it to feel nice. Allow yourself to be happy. A little smile on your face. And just like us, all other living beings long to be happy, long for peace, to be free of suffering, free of pain, free of distress. Knowing this, we allow the light at the center of our chest to expand, to radiate, so that everyone in this room is touched, feels the sunshine shining on them. Thinking, may they too be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. So you share this love, this kindness with these Kalyanamitta here now. May they be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. everyone, every living being is deserving of love, deserving of kindness. Knowing this, we keep expanding the beautiful sunshine of our chest, our heart, ever outwards, so that all the beings here at Jhana Grove can feel our sunshine, can feel our love. May all the beings that live in the air be happy. The birds, the insects, the bats. May they all be happy. Free from suffering. And may all the animals live on land. May they be happy, free from suffering. Kangaroos, lizards, spiders. May they all be happy. May all the creatures that live under the ground be happy. The ants, the centipedes, worms. May they be free from suffering. May they be happy. May all the creatures that live in the water be happy. May they be free from suffering. Fish. Tadpoles. May they be happy. love, this kindness, to soak all through your body, allow it to shine on all the people, all the creatures around you. And we keep radiating ever outwards this beautiful love, this beautiful kindness, shining on each and every living being. And so we spread this light, this love, to the entire city of Perth. May all these living beings be happy, free from suffering. And ever outwards, the whole state of Western Australia, allow your love, this light, to touch every living being in Australia. And continue radiating this love, suffusing the entire world with light, with love, kindness. May the whole world be free from suffering. May all beings be happy. We spread this light, this love, ever outwards, sending it into the universe, may all living beings everywhere be free from suffering. May they be happy. citta sahagatena cetasa ekam disam paritava viharati tata dutiyam tata tatiyam tata chatutam iti udamado tiriyam sabadi sabatataya sabha vantam lokam metta sahagatena cetasa vipalena mahagatena apamane na ave rena abhiya pachena paritava viharati ti. So these words I just chanted were the Buddha's instructions on radiating metta. He says to make our mind abundant, exalted, and immeasurable without hostility and without ill will. So this is the aim of our practice of metta, to develop that loving kindness to such an extent there is no ill will, there is no hostility, only love, only kindness for all living beings. So that's pretty much the end of the retreat. I just got a few little... Oh, it's not really, there's lunch. The important things. So I think we're going to maintain our noble silence until after lunch, so that people can just chill out for a little bit longer in peace and quietness. And then after lunch, there'll be some opportunities for you to make merit by generously cleaning as much as you can the centre. So you probably know that it's run by people like you, retreatants, who come and make it nice for the next people who come. So it's kind of like this kind of giving, paying it forward, Oprah Winfrey kind of thing. So, please keep your silence until after lunch, and then there'll be some cleaning. I think you're meeting in the hall at 12, and then some cleaning. And then at 1:30, you're all welcome. Please do come and hang out with each other and have some chai with made by Scotty for us, which is really nice of him to do that. And it's excellent chai, so I hope that you can have a few moments to spare, to spend with the people you've been on retreat with. These are your Kalyanamitta, these are your spiritual friends, these are the people who are going to help you. So get to know them, make some connections here. You never know what might come of it. And it's good to have new people in your life who are interested in the same things that you're interested in and who can help you, help carry you along on the spiritual path, because that's what we need. That's what a Kalyanamitta is. Also, ask for your help in providing some feedback to us. So there'll be some forms. I'd love it if you can take a few moments to fill the forms in. This is my first retreat, so I'm interested in any feedback that you might have, positive and negative. I'm willing to learn from this experience, so please be nice, though. but please be constructive, because I'd like to hear what you've thought about the retreat. And a few other things to mention is that Kalyanamitta, the group, meets every Saturday at 5 p.m. at Dhammaloka at the city centre for the BSWA. So if you haven't already been along, please do. And it's great to hang out with people who think like you about spiritual stuff. And it's usually an opportunity to hang out with a monastic, for a little while, ask some questions, think about the Dharma. And then usually, I've never been invited along to this, but usually I think people go out to dinner and have pizza or something like that afterwards and hang out, as spiritual friends should. So that's really nice. So you can like the Kalyanamitta Facebook page if you're on Facebook. And I'm going to be a little bit shameless here because I also have a Facebook page. And I feel like we are friends, but it doesn't matter until we're friends on Facebook. But the reason I say that is because it's really nice to have spiritual friends. And please do consider me as your Kalyanamitta. Please do consider me as a spiritual friend. And I really mean that. So if you ever need to get in touch or you want to have you want to have the opportunity to ask some questions, then please do let me know. And if I can help you, I will. And it could also be useful because I do things from time to time, and I'd love for you to know about them too. So I think my Facebook name is Akaliko Bhikkhu. So Bhikkhu just means like monk. So you could find it on Facebook, I think, if you wanted to. I'm not going to force you to be my friends. And I would like to thank probably mostly the people who aren't even in this room, but I would like to thank the people who made the retreat possible. And Anusha Yatawara, she has been tireless. Originally, it was meant to be like 30 people, and so it's double that. And I think there's like 30 people on the waiting list as well. So not only did she kind of have to double her workload in the admin, but she also had to correspond with all these other people who couldn't even come on the retreat. So she's done a lot of work, and she is amazing. She's managed to put this whole thing together. And I'd like to thank Moshan also for teaching the yoga in the mornings, and David for helping with the AV, and Matt for taking photographs and for leading the nature walk. And there's all the people in the kitchens. I want to say Viraji. How do I say it properly?
Viraji,
okay, good. And Udara for helping out in the kitchen. Was it just you two? Oh, very good. Oh, lovely. Very good people. Because it's a lot of work, actually, cleaning up after each other. And so all of those people, including all the aunties, all the aunties who have come to bring lunch for us today and yesterday, so kind of them. You know, they go buy all this food, they bring it along, they give it to us, and they go away again. Like, we're so lucky. And also the caretakers, Scotty and Christina, who look after Jhana Grove. So I have a lot of gratitude in my heart for those people. And also to you for sharing the Dharma with us here as a group. I thank you for coming along, taking a risk. You don't really know me. And I appreciate the smiles that you've given me. And I've already heard some nice feedback, so it's also really nice to appreciate that. So thank you, basically. So now it's lunchtime. So I'm going to pay respects to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, as I usually do. And then we can all head towards the kitchen and enjoy a good lunch.
Araham Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami